Good morning, people of God. Happy New Year again. Merry Christmas. This is the last. This is the 12th day of Christmas now, you know. How many have stopped celebrating Christmas? How many are continuing to celebrate Christmas? That's very, very good. That's very, very good. Anyway, welcome this morning as we do gather as God's people in this time. And on this last Sunday of Christmas, Christmas 2, it's not all, oftentimes on this Sunday, we oftentimes celebrate Epiphany, which is when the Magi come into kind of that revealing piece. We're entering into the season of Epiphany now following this. So, anyway, you know what I got to ask you? How are you? See? Now let me ask you this. How many are continue to respond to people on the street that way? Okay. More hands are going up all the time. That's great. Great. What kind of responses are you getting? Huh? Conversation piece. It kind of opens things up, huh? Okay. All right. What's that? You too. Conversation piece. You have to understand that when that happens, it's more than just a fly-by, I'm okay. When that happens, you're actually inviting a person into your life in a small way there. So. Anyway, let's prepare ourselves for worship with our confession and forgiveness. I invite you to stand as you're able. We begin here at the baptismal font, for here we are reminded of who we are and to whom we belong. We begin, blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one God, the parent who rouses us from slumber, the shepherd who gathers us on the holy mountain, the deliverer who sets us free. Amen. Let us come before the living God in confession, and I invite us to take a moment for our own self-examination and reflection at this time. Loving God, as we wait and watch for the promised day of salvation, we open our hearts to you, O God. Search us and know us. Reveal all that we keep inside. To you, O God, we confess our sins, known and unknown. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us in your ways of justice and peace. Make us reflections of the radiant of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved children of the Most High, you are gathered before the righteous judge who has mercy for all. Splash exuberantly in the waters of baptism, where sin is washed away in the river of life. Dwell peacefully in the loving arms of the one who nurtures all creation. Go forth boldly in the assurance that your sins are forgiven in the name of the one who is coming and is already here, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We sing our hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Peace, goodwill to all the earth. Let us sing a joyful song to the Christ, the living Word. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Excelsis Deo. Love has come to dwell with us. Light now shines on everyone. Hope has lifted up our hearts. Joy has made in us a home. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with light of your incarnate Word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God has established peace on your borders and set us off like ashes. The Lord sends forth the word and melts them. The wind blows and the water flows. The Lord has not done so to any other nation. They do not know God's judgments. Hallelujah. Our second reading this morning is from Ephesians, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in his beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also deserved an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who are the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. We're a little short on kids today. We got some kids? They're out. What? Anybody want to be a kid today? Bill? Come on. Bill, you can come up too if you want to. Come on down. There we go. You got me today. Oh, we have extremes here. I love it. Say, have any of you ever been camping? You've never been camping? How about in your backyard? Did you ever camp, put something up in your backyard? This is what I used to do when I was your age. This is what I used to do. I used to put chairs together in the living room, and then I put blankets over it, and I made a tent in the middle of the living room. Anybody ever do that? Huh? Yeah. And I would pretend I was out camping, right? Right? So, and I hope you get a chance to go camping, because sleeping in a tent is pretty cool. Isn't it, Charlotte? Savannah. Wrong kid. She's looking at me really intently. Hi, Savannah. In our text that I just read today, we hear these words, and the Word became flesh. And the Word here is Jesus. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Do you know what another translation of that word lived? Another word is sometimes it's translated as dwell. Dwell, did you know that? Well, now you do. Now you do. Dwell among us. Do you know what another translation or that can be translated as? Tent. The Word became flesh and tented among us. What do you think about that? Tented among us. Jesus comes and tents, dwells, lives with us. So, when you think of tenting, I want you to think of keeping a space in your tent for Jesus. Okay? I want you to pray with me, okay? And please repeat what I say. Dear Jesus, everybody can say it, by the way. You're all on, okay? Dear Jesus, we give you thanks for dwelling with us. We give you thanks for putting on flesh of humans to know us, to love us. Help us to love you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you for coming up.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, do I need to put your name on my door out in the, on my office there? If you haven't discovered sometimes I put little cartoons on my door, so it's just for some reading and this was kind of a joke type of thing. I don't know who put his name on there, but this is a caption of a pastor saying I've been told that people are complaining that my sermons are too theological and intellectual, so the following people are invited to come up for the children's sermon. And somebody wrote Bill's name on there. I don't know who it was. Does anybody want to confess to that? Anyway, would you please pray with me? Loving God, we are grateful this day that you do come to dwell among us. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for your word in which we hear of that. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, no, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked up here. How many of you have been camping? How many of you still camp? How many of you still sleep on the ground? You know, the hands kind of got fewer and fewer. Now, how many people think that camping is going to like a country inn and suites? Okay, now we're getting there. You know, things change over time. You know, one of the things that I have lost interest in is actually in sleeping on the ground. I'll sleep on air mattresses. I'll sleep on cots. The lure of just sleeping on the ground is no longer in my desire these days. But I love to camp. I love to camp. You know, so how many of you have pitched a tent before? Huh? One of the things that we used to do when our kids were small is that, oh, Alex, you figure out you had pitched a tent?
Yep.
Okay. I just, Connie looked like she was just saying, yes, you have. Our kids, we'd always go do a family trip, and it was usually going to national parks at different places or state parks, and we would camp, we would pitch a tent, and we would dwell in those places with other people that were also pitching their tents there in those places. My first experience of camping actually was in Boy Scouts. I was a Boy Scout for a time when I was growing up. How many of you who were like with Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? Yeah, there's a few of you out there. So a lot of you understand the basic idea or concept of pitching a tent and living in a tent temporarily. We have these words. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And like I mentioned, that word lived, it can also be translated as dwell. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what it says. The Word became flesh. It comes from the Greek word skinu. Say that with me. Skinu. Now you're multilingual. Word skinu, Greek word, which literally means tent or dwelling. Another way of also means tabernacle. How about that? So that dwelling word implies that making a dwelling or pitching a tent or making that, then the sense of that word is not just that the Word of God comes to earth in spite of the fact that He's got a much bigger arrangement already available. When Jesus became a human being, God was setting up a camp with humans. In the incarnation, we call that incarnation, putting on flesh. In the incarnation, God was pitching God's tent among us. Now, most religions of the world have some form of divine being that visits humanity. But in Christianity, this being does more than just stop by for a visit. God sets up camp with us, pitches God's tent among them, and becomes real flesh and blood human being. This is the actual incarnation of God. And now think with me for a moment the significance of this image of God pitching a tent rather than just going to the hotel. Tents are temporary. They wear out. They only give partial shelter. In other words, I wouldn't want to be in a tornado in a tent. The same things can be said about our humanity, too. Human life is temporary. Human bodies wear out. The human condition gives only partial shelter from suffering. But Jesus came to be a real human being, to experience mortality, pain, the suffering, the humiliation, and all the stuff that what being human means. All experiences that God chose to embrace when he became human. Not at all like the divine experience of perfection or peace and performance. Now, another definition of this word, skinu. Say that word with me again, skinu. Now, I want to hear you say that to me next week. Ask me, have you been skinued lately? Skinuing. Skinuing? Does that work? Tenting? Skinuing? The other word that I talked about was tabernacle. Now, that's not a word that we usually use. Tabernacle in the Old Testament times was that kind of mobile temple that the people of Israel took with them as they wandered in the wilderness, a tabernacle. It was seen as the house of God, but it was movable, so it could move from place to place with them as they wandered. Now, the glory of God was understood to be housed in that special place. So when we hear that God tabernacled among us, we all should think about the way that God's power is now experienced, but through a real human being, made of flesh and blood, who lived and loved among us. Now, there's a famous Danish philosopher, Søren Kierkegaard. I don't oftentimes quote Danish philosophers, but he wrote a story to illustrate the significance of this incarnation, of this tenting. A certain king was very rich. His power was known throughout the world, but he was most unhappy, for he desired a wife. Without a queen, the palace was empty. One day, while riding through the streets of a small village, he saw a beautiful peasant girl. So lovely was she that the heart of the king was won. He wanted her more than anything he wanted. The succeeding days he would ride by her house on the mere hope of seeing her for a moment in passing. He wondered how he might win her love. He thought, I will draw up a royal decree and require her to be brought before me to become the queen of my land. But as he considered, he realized that she was a subject and would be forced to obey. He could never be certain that he had won her love. Then he said to himself, I shall call on her in person. I will dress in my finest robes, wear diamond rings and my silver sword, my shiny black boots, and my most colorful tunic. I will overwhelm her, sweep her off her feet to become my bride. But as he pondered the idea, he knew that he would always wonder whether she had married him for the riches and power he could give her. Then he decided to dress as a peasant, drive to the town and have his carriage let him off. In disguise, he would approach her house. But somehow, the duplicity of his plan did not appeal to him. At last, he knew what he must do. He would shed his royal robes. He would go to the village and become one of the peasants. He would work and suffer with them. He would actually become a peasant. This he did, and he won his wife. So did God consider how he might win humankind. God in Christ became one of us. He took upon him the form of human flesh to dwell among us. Jesus, God incarnate, the Word became flesh and lived among us. Jesus pitched his tent among us. The very God who created the universe humbled himself by willingly being born a tiny baby in a manger and living as one of us. With all our limitations, he did it out of sheer love for all of us. Here ends the quote. To become like us, to become one of us and live among us as this king did among the peasants in Kierkegaard's story is the best, most effective way to get our attention, to reach us, and to convince us of his great love for us. Amen. I invite you to stand, as you're able. Gather with all who seek the Christ child. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, you make your presence known to the church in every land. Give to us a desire and will to support the diverse work of the church throughout the world. Especially today, we lift up Lutheran World Relief, Lutheran Disaster Response, and all those people that work in those. Hear us, O God. Generous Creator, in you all things came into being, and without you not one thing exists. We praise you for the snow and the rain that water the earth. Move us to care for the well-being of the work of your hands. Hear us, O God. Savior of the nations, you gather in your care people of every age and ability from lands near and far. Inspire the leaders of the nations to work for peace within their countries and in all the world. Hear us, O God. Saving God, provide for your people who begin this year in need. Grant shelter to those who are homeless, comfort to all who are lonely, and a strong sense of your presence to those who are sick. Especially we remember Andy, Josie, Patrick, Randy and Pam, Sue and Bob, Kathy, Jonelle, Paul, Lexin, Sharon, Mary, Kevin, Grace, Levi, Jerry, Sean, Libby, Tracy, Belinda, Doug, Justin, Leo, Sam, and Anita. And we lift up before you the family of Elaine Tabello. And we also lift up before you Josie's family and the loss of their grandmother. Our Companion Synod congregation in Malawi, the Balaka Parish, and Pastor Francis, and all those that we name in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Word of truth, your good news of salvation is proclaimed among us. Bless all who proclaim your word in this community, especially teachers, pastors, deacons, musicians, and lectors. Hear us, O God. We pray, O Lord God, for peace this day. We pray that you would move among leaders of the world to work together to reduce tensions. We pray for those who serve in the military and their families. May your spirit be with them. May they know of your love. Hear us, O God. We lift up before you this day also those who cannot be here with us in this time of worship today. We lift up our members and friends who reside in care facilities, and those who are confined to their homes, and those who are just plain not able to be here. Help them to know of your presence with them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious One, in your light shines in the darkness and is not overcome. We thank you for the witnesses who have testified to your light. May our lives continue to inspire, their lives continue to inspire us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your gracious hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. We share that peace with one another. Receive our morning offering at this time.
God, from whom all blessings flow, the creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
giver of every good thing, we set before you the gifts that you have already given to sustain our lives and to share with others. Help us to be good stewards of the earth and all that is in it, and let our lives be a testimony to the abundant feast you prepare for all who are hungry. Amen. Blessed are you, O God, for you made the earth and all that is, and declared it good. Blessed are you, for in Christ you entered into creation, into our humanity, into our vulnerability, into our mortality. You stayed with us through conflict, through suffering, through death. Blessed are you for raising Jesus from the dead, in him promising new life to us all. We remember in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When the meal had ended, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Come, Lord Jesus, into this meal and make us alive again. By your Spirit, bind us to that holy communion of saints in every time and place, and make us your body in the world, bringing light and healing to all. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom, O Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The table is set. Our Lord Jesus invites us to come. Come now with joy to Emmanuel's table. Feast at the banquet of hope and love. Need one more. Thank you, Dick. I have the body of Christ given for you. Invite you to stand as you're able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace and His peace. Amen. God of abundance, we give you thanks that in this holy meal you have invited us to feast with you and one another. May the taste of your love remain with us, and may our words and our work in your name invite others into your bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious company of Christ our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Look with love upon you. Be gracious and cause God's face to shine with peace. Glory to God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Savior close beside us, God's love from harm to hide us, the Spirit's power to guide us evermore. We sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain.